And welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. 2017, done. It's over. And this is my end of year 2017 podcast. Now, those of you who are regular listeners know that every year on December 31st, I record and release a end of year podcast that goes back and looks at the year and says, was this the year of VR? Was 2017 the year of VR? Now, normally what I do is I go back and I re-listen to the previous year's end of year podcast. So I went back and I re-listened to 2016. And it sounded to me like I, Reverend Kyle, was saying that 2016 was the year of VR, but I didn't say it very emphatically. I wasn't enthusiastic about saying that it was the year of VR. And to be honest with you, that whole episode sounded like 2016 was kind of a transitional year, maybe. I don't know. I mean, we did get consumer release products for 2016. So we saw the consumer Vive and the consumer Rift and the consumer PSVR and a whole bunch of other stuff like Daydream and Gear VR. And so if you really want to say that 2016 was the year of VR, I wouldn't probably argue with you too much. I mean, there was enough going on in that year. 2016 had enough stuff. But the thing is, I'm finding myself after listening to the 2016 end of year episode and then the 2015 year episode, end of year episode, and then the 2014 end of year episode. I didn't do one in 2013, should have, but, you know, hindsight and all that. I kind of think that the definition of the year of VR actually needs to change a bit. And it might just change for me. I don't know. It might change for you. It just depends. I think that my interpretation of the term the year of VR originally meant that it was going to be the year that we saw mass consumer adoption. Now, what exactly does mass consumer adoption mean? Are we talking about everybody has one? Because that's not really realistic to think that that's going to happen. And, you know, I for a while there, I thought that mass consumer adoption was going to occur because of, and again, those of you who've been listening for a long time will know this, I always thought mass consumer adoption would happen because in October, you'd start to see the Black Friday ads slowly creeping out. And then in November, day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, there'd be huge lines of people waiting in front of retail stores to go buy their VR headsets. That's not really, I don't think, ever going to happen, to be honest with you. Because two things. Number one, VR is not really sold in stores that much. Best Buy kind of had some stuff and then didn't. And then the PSVR is kind of in some stores. And, well, I guess the PSVR is really where we're seeing the most mass consumer adoption. Duh, because it connects to a PS4, which has a user base of tens of millions of people. So you're obviously going to sell a decent amount of headsets eventually once content comes out. But the Rift, the Vive, other stuff, you know, you're going to have to go get it online. And between that and the fact that Black Friday just isn't what it used to be. I mean, let's face it, folks. When we were younger, Black Friday meant you went and stood in the cold for 2 hours in a line with a bunch of other people so you could get the doorbusters. And that just doesn't happen as much. Quick anecdote here for you all. I used to work retail. I worked at an office supply store. We'll just call it Paper Clips. And I know I've used that joke before, those of you who have listened to it for a while, but it's one of my favorites. Anyway, I always, as a manager at the store, would always have to work on Black Friday. And so as any good retail manager should, he went in on Thanksgiving and checked things out and see what was going on. I lived in a small suburban area in Cincinnati on the west side, and there were a lot of stores. So there was a Walmart, a Best Buy, a Target, the Paperclips. There were a bunch of other stores, and some of them were just local, so I'm not going to mention them. But I would go around at the end of the night on Thanksgiving, and I would drive around and see the lines of people lining up, queuing up in front of the stores with tents and stuff. And there was always this big, huge, massive line that wrapped around. And, you know, there was the Best Buy had a Dick's Sporting Goods next to it. So there was a whole bunch of people lined up in front of Dick's trying to get into Best Buy. You can take that however you want. But there was always a big, huge line. And then slowly over the course of time, those lines dwindled. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there has been a lot of adoption of online shopping. And, you know, then Cyber Monday is a thing now. So the ideal scenario that I had in my mind way back in 2014 was, oh, we're going to get these ads and they're going to be great on Black Friday and everybody's going to run out and get them. And then that didn't happen. And then in 2015, it didn't happen. And in 2016, it didn't happen. Well, 2017... I still didn't see that happen. There weren't ads with doorbusters with VR, and that's okay. I'm not upset about that because it just means that things are evolving. And so our ideas on how to define these things need to evolve as well. And I think there's been a lot of evolution. If anything, 2017 should be deemed the year of the evolution of immersive technology. Oh gosh, that sounds terrible. Never mind. Don't try to make an acronym out of that or anything. So what we ended up with in 2017, we expanded beyond, because I didn't say VR, I said immersive technology. We had a whole bunch of stuff that occurred on the other side of things. And when I say other side of things, I mean augmented reality. So historically, the Rev VR podcast has not shied away from talking about AR, but we don't exclusively talk about AR. We talk about VR as much as we possibly can because, well, that's why I started the podcast. But AR has become the next big thing. And I'd like to talk about that just a bit because I was going to release a podcast at the very beginning of 2017. I even talk about it in my end of year 2016 podcast that was going to talk all about AR. And I recorded it and I re-listened to it. And then I re-listened to it again and I re-listened to it again. And I realized that I wasn't being fair to the technology called augmented reality. Why? Well, because it seemed like it was invading, kind of stealing some of the thunder of VR. And that's just not cool to knock on something like that. You have to look at things objectively. I know that I am typically a pretty subjective guy, and I like to voice my opinions. And, well, that's why there's a disclaimer at the end of the podcast, because these are my opinions or the opinions of the guests. I don't really think that it would have been wise for me to release that podcast because I hadn't been fair to augmented reality. Now, a lot of things have happened to me personally in 2017, and I'd like to share some of that with you. Earlier this year, I switched jobs. I switched companies that I was working for. And so I used to work for a real estate and commercial architecture agency that primarily did things like renders and animations and panoramic images and things like that. And I was doing VR for them. Well, it turns out I ended up doing a lot of AR for them as well. Primarily using things like Unity, Vuforia, dabbled a little bit in some other technologies. But for the most part, these were things that were customized specifically to our clients' needs, which were commercial real estate architecture, you know, buildings popping out of pieces of paper and stuff like that. And it was very fulfilling. It was very good. I recently left that company and moved to a different agency. So the job's the same, but the clients are different. And this new agency is called 8/9ths. And I was very pleased to find them and find that they had a need for a person with my certain set of skills. And I found myself doing AR for them and then also doing some VR. And the nice thing about working for 8/9ths is our clients are not specifically architecture and real estate, despite the fact that that's obviously a really good industry to have this type of immersive technology involved with it. It's a very obvious good pairing. There's something about working for an agency that doesn't say, oh, well, you know, it's not a building, so we're not going to do it. 8/9ths does all sorts of things for all sorts of people. So really, my job stayed the same, but the clients I'm building things for are different. And I'm very happy. I landed a very nice position, and I'm very pleased with where this is going to take me. I feel like this is kind of me broadening my horizons a bit. And those of you who have congratulated me on social media and LinkedIn, notice I didn't pair those all together because I really don't think LinkedIn is necessarily social media. But anyway, thank you. I appreciate all the heartfelt congratulations and good jobs and patting on my back and saying that, you know, I'm awesome and all that stuff. So thank you. I really, really appreciate that. And I appreciate the folks at 8/9ths who have given me an opportunity to build some amazing stuff for them as well. So if you are someone out there and looking for an agency to build you something, and it's not necessarily commercial real estate or architecture, give us a call. We'll see what we can do for you. You know, just a little side note on agencies, you know, that's another thing that has kind of shifted my thought processes on this entire immersive technology industry a bit, is that I'm finding myself leading a dual role by not just doing the entertainment stuff. So yes, I'm still going to expos and conventions, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. And that's all entertainment. I'm playing games and I'm doing social online and stuff like that. But then there's the enterprise aspect of things. And that's really important, I think, because what we're seeing here is that media, mainstream media and other media, are reporting about immersive technologies in two ways. They're talking about it in either the gaming and entertainment, or they're talking about the industrial enterprise applications of the technology. And I think it's smart that we separate those two, because I don't believe that they rely on each other. Obviously, there's some crossover. Obviously, there's going to be some things that are going to benefit both, or one's going to discover something and then the other will adopt it. But really, I'm starting to see that augmented reality, virtual reality, mixed reality, all the other realities, they do kind of have two columns. And while there is some gray area where they blend together, most of it's either going to be, I'm here to entertain you, or I'm here to inform you about some amazing thing that our company can do. And, you know, advertisement is going to definitely be one of those areas where the lines are blurred. We're going to see things that are going to be games, but they're more educational, or we're going to see this is an ad, but it's an experience that's an ad. So you get to enjoy yourself while you're being pandered to. You know, there's so many different things that this immersive technology industry is going to do over the course of the next couple years. And, you know, I'm trying to find a balance between, am I spending enough time playing games and watching movies and things like that? And am I also experimenting with the tools that are out there? And, you know, 2017 saw a lot of really good tool improvements. And when I say that, I'm talking about things like Unity, Unreal, There's been some other SDKs that have been released. There's a lot of new things that are out there that will help you build stuff for VR and AR. Do I have to keep saying that, VR and AR? Is it okay if I just say immersive technology, or should I start saying XR? You know, that's another thing that 2017 gave us, and to me, it's kind of a sore spot, because I'm not really sure if I agree with all of the naming conventions that are being used. So we had in 2016, you know, mixed reality, merged reality, then there's augmented reality, then there's augmented virtuality, and then there's virtual augmentity, and then there's doobie 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 doo. I mean, you know, AR, VR, MR, and then there's XR, which some people say stands for extended reality, and other people say it just, X is just a variable for all of the R's. And so, like I said in a previous episode, if you've got a reality, we'll put a letter in front of it. It's kind of like that. You know, we're not really sure exactly how to talk about this correctly. And so there's a lot of people out there who are just saying XR, and that's the all-encompassing thing. I'm not quite sold on that yet. I'm not against it. I'm just going to wait and see what the industry decides to call things, because I'm the guy who thought that HD DVD was going to beat out Blu-ray, because HD was a term that people would understand and appreciate. It doesn't matter that one was a superior technology, because everybody knows Beta was more was better than VHS, but VHS won out. Why? Because of Disney and porn. And so maybe I'm just waiting until Disney and porn decide what the proper naming conventions for all this technology should be. I don't know. I might be a little off there. So feel free to drop me a line and tell me I'm crazy. So let's talk about this whole MR thing. So in 2016, I predicted that there'd be a bunch more headsets coming out. And sure enough, Microsoft partnered up with several well-known companies to produce what they are calling mixed reality headsets. And the HoloLens had been out, and people looked at it and said, oh, it's augmented reality. Even Microsoft said it was augmented reality. And then they decided that they were going to do these other headsets, and they said, no, wait. We're going to call all of it mixed reality. So there's not just going to be AR and VR. We're going to call it mixed reality. And there's this chart thing that a lot of people use to help justify that terminology. And I'm very skeptical of the term mixed reality as a name for these headsets, because I'll tell you what these headsets are. They are lower end, and when I say lower end, I mean lower than the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive. They are lower spec'd headsets that put you in virtual reality. They're not putting you in mixed reality, because mixed reality denotes that there is some level of a real space being shown to you, and then you're putting stuff on top of it. And again, that chart is, you know, it's out there. You can go look it up. I'm not even going to link to it in the blog post. But the unique factor that these mixed reality headsets have is that they do not require external sensors to determine your location. Most people call that inside-out tracking. There are sensors, or cameras, for a lack of, you know, real detail here and what all the sensors are doing. These cameras on the front, there are two of them, they look out into the room you're in, and using some voodoo magic, they determine where you are, and then they use that to track your 6 degrees of freedom. That's really cool. And, you know, at first when these headsets came out, I was so obsessed with the fact that, number one, they were LCD. Number two, the lenses weren't all that great. Number three, they were kind of cheap and plastic. Number four, they were called mixed reality. And I was stubborn, and I couldn't wrap my mind around why they would be doing that. Then I had an opportunity to spend some time with the headsets. The Acer mixed reality headset was the first one that I tried, and it used an LCD screen, which if you had told me 2 years ago I'd be okay with that, I would have slapped you. It's actually not too bad. And the lenses are pretty decent. And the headset itself is pretty inexpensive. And they have controllers. The ugliest controllers I have seen in the immersive technology space to date. But who cares? Because you can put whatever model you want onto it. Ergonomically speaking, I still find that the Oculus Touch controllers are superior to all other hand controllers that I have available to me right now as of December 31st, 2017. I would say that the Vive controllers would be second, and then the mixed reality controllers fall in about sixth. I have never even tried fourth and fifth yet, but you know, or third. Yeah, this is, I feel like there is enough room for growth in that area, and there might be some iterations, and that's cool. So I tried the Acer mixed reality headset. It was okay. That seemed to be the headset of choice that Microsoft sent out to all of the developers, and they're really trying hard to push this whole mixed reality concept so that they can get a whole bunch of experiences on their store that are universal Windows, and they'll work on all sorts of stuff, and they're going to work on lower spec machines. So those of you who were worried that grandma's 1997 e-machine wasn't going to be able to run VR, it's still not going to. But if she upgraded in like 2005, she might be able to now, because Microsoft is pushing really hard to have really low spec minimum requirements for these experiences for their mixed reality headsets. And I think that's pretty good. I think that's a good idea. There's also one made by HP, and there's a Dell, and then there's the Samsung, which has, I would say, the best combo of screen, lenses. It's got built-in headphones. It's kind of, you know, sleek looking. I can't believe I'm saying this, because I think it took me a long time to come to this conclusion, but I really feel like there's a practical application for these mixed reality headsets. I'm finding a lot of value in them that I didn't find before. And that was just because of my stubbornness, and I couldn't get past the fact that they were called mixed reality. I still have a problem with that. And I'm pleading with Microsoft, if anybody at Microsoft listens to this, please reconsider, you know, or at least come out and admit that, you know, we know they're VR. That's it. That's all I want. If you want to say that it's mixed reality and keep trying to convince everybody that, no, it really is mixed because inside out and it's tracking, and they're VR headsets. And when people ask me, I'm going to tell them that they're VR headsets. And I think the rest of the world tends to agree. So let's move past that, because I think we're all pretty happy with the fact that there's more options. Who cares what they call it? Who cares who's making it? They're lower cost and they're decent quality. And the adoption process for it is easy. You can plug it into a laptop. Now, I would recommend powering the laptop, but, you know, it's just HDMI and USB. You plug them in. There's no external sensors. There's nothing else. It's just plug it in and get going. And as of a month or so ago, it's compatible with Steam software. So if you download a VR game on Steam, you can use the mixed reality headset. Pretty cool. That was smart. Or was it? I don't know. Because if I'm playing stuff on Steam, do I really care to look at their own store? I don't know. That's for them to deal with. Okay. So that's the mixed reality headsets. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want to harp on it too much, but it is something that I talked about and predicted in last year's end of year episode, and it pretty much came to fruition close to what I thought it would be. It's still slow adoption, and I feel like once these things are in people's hands and other people try them and then they hear how much it is, price. Let's talk about price, because this is a good segue into something else that happened this year. Several other headsets, and when I say that, I'm only talking about the Rift and the Vive, came down in price, and there were bundles with games and stuff, and it was really cool, because all of a sudden people were going crazy saying, I can afford this now. And the entry level, the cost of adoption suddenly became a little cheaper, and everybody was like, oh, this summer, you know, Oculus Rift is going to be so cheap and everybody go get it. But then they kind of went back up, but went back down. I don't know. I think it's good that we're getting to that point now where the price is tolerable. And with Microsoft pushing for lower minimum spec for their, you know, mixed reality headsets, then there's going to be options for other people as well. So, you know, I really want to buy a VR headset because so-and-so has one and I'm really jealous and I wish I could afford to get a new computer and a headset. Oh, wait, for $300, you can get a headset that works on your 5-year-old machine and it works okay and you can play stuff and it's really cool. So the price came down. Now, throughout my process of shopping for the kids and family members for Christmas presents, I noticed something that I saw last year, and this year it was even worse. A load. I mean stacks. Huge table stacks at every retailer you could find of 6 different flavors of what I call cardboard knockoffs. These are plastic, cheap, silly novelty VR headsets that you put your phone in. And some of them have some cheeky, you know, designs, and some of them have built-in headphones, and some of them have deluxe straps, and some of them have 3-DOF controllers. These things were everywhere, and they're still everywhere because nobody bought them. I mean, I'm sure some people bought some. And again, if you had a scale of everybody's comfort level for VR, at the very, very bottom of the spectrum, right past the I'm never doing VR, is the person who goes, you know, my phone is 3 years old, I don't have a good computer, and I'm not a gamer, but I want to know what all this is about. And so I'm going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond or Target or, you know, some of these other, you know, closeout stores. And I'm going to get a $20 piece of plastic that I stick my phone in and download a couple, roller coasters or watch some movies and things like that. Yeah, and it's enough. It's enough to get you hooked, I guess. It's kind of like a drug dealer. The first one's free. The second one costs, or so I've heard. I don't want to knock these things, but I kind of do, because I'm just tired of seeing huge stacks of them everywhere. And I don't know if they overordered, anticipating that there was going to be a big demand for it. I mean, that's a good mentality, but at the same time, after Christmas, seeing huge stacks of these headsets laying all over the place with huge discounts isn't a good thing for the immersive technology industry as a whole. I'm just going to say, there's goods and bads to that. Take it how you want. That's just my perspective. So AR. AR was a big thing. AR was definitely a big thing this year. There were, you know, you've got some major players, and shout out to Microsoft HoloLens team and the Meta team, and there were some other, there's even like Google Cardboard-y conceptual type of things where you stick your phone in and there's like a half mirror and stuff like that. And there's some other companies out there that are really trying hard to get AR to take off. AR is, in my opinion, about 3 years, and I say about because it could be less, could be more, about 3 years behind VR in terms of its adoption rate of the development community and of, enterprise. So despite the fact that I go to work every day and work on an AR solution for enterprise for one of our clients, I still feel like it's still kind of just poking its head out a bit. And you've got some companies like Magic Leap, who, you know, a lot of good ideas, a lot of promises, very little being shown, except for renders and cutesy videos and things like that. Nothing would please me more than for Magic Leap to throw out a really good, solid dev kit to some big players and some videos get made of actual usage of the actual product, and it's awesome. Nothing would please me more than to hear that it is awesome. The reality of it is, we don't know. And so until we do know, I'm going to be, I'm not going to hold my breath. Let's put it that way. So AR is one of those things that the mainstream media decided that it was going to say, oh, well, it's AR versus VR this year. It's AR versus VR. Cage match, no holds barred. But it's not like that. It's not like that at all. AR and VR can be friends. They can be mutually exclusive. They can coexist. They can be together in perfect harmony. They don't have to rely on each other, and they don't have to beat each other up just to gain some level of dominance. They have different use cases. You know, it literally is apples and oranges. They're both fruit. They're both sweet. You eat both of them. But apples and oranges are very different. And so I like both apples and oranges. I'm partial to Honeycrisp apples. Gala are cool too, but they go bad, I think, a little bit worse. Anyway. I think that AR will have its moment of glory. And I, like many industry experts, believe that someday down the road, there will be this amalgamation of the technologies where you will have a headset that you will get up in the morning and you will put it on your head and you can choose AR or VR. And I'm really concerned that the concept of AR and what people actually think it's going to be versus what it's capable of delivering right now is going to make some people a little disappointed. I don't know. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. This is one of those things where I really hope that I'm wrong, and I hope that AR actually does take off and give us what we want. I wrote a little sarcastic version of a blog about, you know, folks want HUDs. They want a heads-up display. They don't necessarily want AR. Because what does AR exactly do? Well, it puts virtual items in your real world. And one of the things that we got this year was AR Kit and AR Core. Now, AR Core is Android's version of putting AR stuff, putting augmented stuff in your real world through your computer or through your phone screen using the camera and, planar sensors and you know, figure out where the floor is and stick something there. I mean, that's basically what AR Core is. AR Kit is the same thing. It's just Apple's version of it. Now, when Apple released or announced the iPhone 8 and then the 8 Plus and then 10 seconds later announced the iPhone X, we were all whole, and I say we, the folks that are in the immersive technology community, were waiting for Apple to say, oh, and if you get the X, the iPhone X, here's the headset you can plug it into. And using AR Kit, you can do pass-through and you can do VR and AR and all sorts of fun stuff. But they didn't. They did not. And I think a lot of people were a little confused. Why wouldn't they do that? It made perfectly good sense for them to release a headset for that phone. Now, I have a confession to make, folks. And this is really difficult for me because I have always been what most people would call an Android fanboy. And I have decided this year, this year marks the death of my Samsung Galaxy Note 4. It took a dive into Puget Sound and it is swimming with the fishies now. When I went to go replace my phone, I couldn't determine which new phone I wanted to get. Couldn't decide if I wanted to get an S8 or if I wanted to wait and see what else was coming out, or did I want to get a Note 8 or, you know. And one of the things that I had to do was get a phone. I had to put something into something. I had to put my SIM card into something so I could actually have my phone. Because not having a phone is very, I shiver and shake just thinking about not having my phone. So I went into my VR dungeon where I do some of my development, and I looked down and I noticed that one of my development phones was kind of winking at me a little bit, kind of giving me the little head bob. Hey, what's up? What's up? How you doing? And I was like, oh, you know, I've never stuck my SIM card into one of you before, but maybe I will. And I took a chance and I took my SIM card and I slid it slowly into an iPhone 6. Yeah, I'm admitting to it. I've been using an iPhone 6 for a couple months now, and I had to think really hard about whether or not I wanted to share this with folks, because being an Apple fan or being an Android fanboy and blasting so hard on Apple for all these years, I think I've grown a bit. I think this is what happens to, you know, in the Star Wars universe, you know, Jedi are good, Sith are bad, but there needs to be a balance. There needs to be a balance in the Force. And the reason I had the iPhone 6 available to me was because I was developing, and I needed to make sure that I was platform agnostic on the things I was developing, so I had to have a test unit. And now I'm using this on a regular basis, and I'm not hating it. And then I decided to buy an iPad. And so now, not only do I have an iPhone, but I also have an iPad. And I know that there's at least one of you out there, a regular listener, who is going, ha, 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 look at you, ha, 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 ha. Laugh it up. That's fine. I can understand that, and I can appreciate it, and I'll laugh along with you, because it is kind of funny. I have equalized myself. I am no longer a fanboy. I still love Android. I'm still a huge fan of Google and their offerings. And I still don't like everything that Apple does. And I don't like the fact that some of their products are overpriced and underpowered and blah, 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 blah. But I have to say that after having used multiple iOS devices now for a couple months, I see the appeal. I get it. And I don't hate it. So there's that. You know, like I said, it's just consider me Luke Skywalker. I'm learning about balance in the Force. And I did not see Last Jedi. But, you know, I kind of get the gist. I understand the idea. It's all about balance, folks. You got to be balanced. And that's how I look at it with the AR and VR stuff, too. You got to be balanced. You can't say that one is good and the other one's not, or I choose this and that one sucks. You can't do that. You have to have balance. So I'm not going to harp too much more on the whole Apple Android thing. I think that 2017 gave us some interesting AR stuff because of AirCore and AirKit. And I'm excited to see what happens in the future. Is Tango dead? Or is it living in the background somewhere? I don't know. We'll have to just see. We'll just have to see. Will AR become something usable for everyday people? Other than the IKEA app is pretty neat, where you can pull something off of their catalog and throw it in your room and see how it fits and rotate it and stuff. And that's cool. I feel like there needs to be... Oh, am I really going to say this? All right, I will. I think AR needs a killer app. Again, regular listeners will understand why that's funny. I don't necessarily believe in killer apps, but I think AR needs something, maybe another category, because Pokemon Go will never be AR to me. I'm sorry. It will never be AR. I played that game for months and never once turned the camera on, so I don't consider it to be AR. We'll see. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that AR will find its, you know, niche category of things that it can offer to people. And who knows, it could be that it'll have facial recognition and somebody will come up with a really neat wearable. I think there's a lot of possibility out there. And I'm not convinced that Apple is done. I think that there's going to be some more stuff coming out. I heard, and it's been confirmed, that Apple bought VRvana. And for those of you who don't know who VRvana is, they're a Canadian company. They've been around for quite a while, and I've actually done interviews with them and things like that, and I've been following their progress over the years, and they had a headset called Totem. Man, I'll tell you what, to this day, that Totem headset is by far the absolute best pass-through from front-facing cameras in a headset I have ever seen in my life. So when I hear that Apple bought them, that's cool. Because if they take what VRVana has built and somehow find a way to incorporate it into a headset that'll use the iPhone X or the 8 or the 8 Plus, if they can find some way to take that technology, I'll be in line. I'll be in line to buy that because I feel very confident that the folks at VRVana know what they're doing. And so Apple bought them. That's great for them. They're all very happy, I'm sure. You know, wonderful. Let's see what they do with it. Hopefully they don't just bury it. Hopefully it just doesn't disappear into the cosmos because, again, amazing pass-through. Okay, so we've talked about all of that. There's another topic that I want to bring up, and I find it to be intriguing because it's something that I have been very adamant about, is that mainstream media hates VR. And for the last month or two, things have changed a little bit. So prior to, let's go back to August 2017. Every article that you find prior to August of 2017 that's reporting about VR basically says it'll never take off, it's a waste, people are going to hate it, everybody feels isolated, everybody gets sick, it's hooey, and you're going to hate it. And look at all these reports of it's underperforming, it's not doing the way it's supposed to. It, you know, Goldman Sachs said it was going to be a gazillion-dollar industry, and it's not. And there's this, and there's that. Mainstream media hated VR. All of a sudden, it's changed. What happened? Why does mainstream media all of a sudden think it's okay? And I've had people say, okay, well, it's because we're out of the trough of disillusionment and we're heading up the arc and it's, you know, mass adoption is on its way and all this other nonsense. Great, whatever, it's wonderful. But those people out there who in 2016 and 2015 said, well, VR is just like 3D TVs. It's not going to take off. It's going to be one of those, very, very small adoption rate type of technologies. And then it's just going to be like, you know, dead after a couple years and nobody's going to use it. Well, they're changing their tone a little bit. VR is actually taking off. There's been a lot of titles that have, you know, made millions of dollars, and companies are being bought, you know, smaller companies are being bought by bigger companies, and big companies are investing a lot of time and money and effort into making VR a thing, and mainstream media has finally decided to switch gears. Mainstream media has finally decided that it's okay to be on board. I don't know why, but I'll take it, because that's one less thing I have to complain about now. Because I don't know how many times I would get up in the morning and grab my phone and start flipping through anything that published overnight or in the morning, since I'm on the West Coast, things that, you know, it's 7 o'clock for me, but it's 10 o'clock for the East Coast, and what got posted. And there's always, like, every day that I would find one article about VR that would just make me want to reach through the internet and punch the author. I'm not seeing that as much anymore. And that's a good thing. I can't stress how much better that's going to make this. It's going to make it so much easier. Now, the year of VR, I think I'm done saying that word, that term, that phrase, that sentence, because it's evolved. It doesn't necessarily mean what it used to mean to me, and I definitely don't think it means the same thing to the the masses out there. You know, the internet, I think, is tired of that phrase, the year of VR, because it's not the year of VR. It's not even the decade of VR. I don't know. Things are changing. They're going in the positive. We've gotten past a lot of roadblocks. And remember, folks, this technology is, well, I mean, unless you count the stuff in the 90s and stuff, let's not do that. This stuff is like 5 years old now. It's maturing. It's like adolescent preteen state right now. And that's okay. That's good. You know, it's becoming mature, but it's not quite there yet. You know, there's still those awkward, VR has acne and voice changing and, you know, hair where hair never used to be before. It's evolving, and that's okay. That's good, because that's a perfectly natural thing. I don't see any problem with waiting another year or two before we go, wow, look at all this VR. Grandma has VR. If grandma has VR, then it's mainstream. That's okay. That'll happen. And I'm going to stop worrying about whether or not it is or is not the year of VR. I'm going to look at things much broader. And I've made a commitment in 2018 to expand a bit and talk more about AR as well. Especially since I'm kind of like doing AR all the time at work. I kind of feel I need to give it some props as well. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to change it to the Rev AR podcast. I'm not going to change it to the Rev MR podcast. I'm not going to change it to the Rev XR podcast. I refuse to do that. It's always been Rev VR. It always will be. I'm not going to stop talking about VR. I'm just going to add AR. AR is now part of the family. We've adopted AR into the fold, and it's a good thing. Immersive technologies. Maybe I should call it the Rev Immersive Technologies podcast. That's a mouthful. It's bad enough people have a hard time with Rev VR. So, okay, what else happened in 2017 that I want to mention? Wireless, TP-Cast, that's a thing. I was very skeptical about it until I tried it. It's good stuff. I think that wireless plus mixed reality headsets plus low minimum spec machine, there could be some fun stuff here. You know, there could be some really fun stuff. I'm kind of hoping that 2018 brings us some magical battery solution where, you know, Elon, get on this, man. I need a AA battery that'll last me like 60 years and power an entire house, but I need it to be the size of a AA battery. That's what I need. While you're at it, I need some AA batteries just in general, because my Oculus Touch controllers go through them pretty quickly. I think 2018, if it can bring some cool technological advances in the battery life, that would be cool. Wireless, it needs a little work, but it's there. AR, you're getting there. Just keep chugging along. You're just a couple steps behind. And VR, you know, you just get yourself some proactive, and you know, start talking lower. That'll help. If you talk lower, it'll help your voice change, or higher, you know, if that's your thing. I think that 2017, for a lack of better terms, was just another year of progress. Year of VR, could have been 2016 if you really want to think about it. 2017, was it the year of VR? You know, we're not going to use that term anymore. So, what else is going on? All right. So, at the end of the year, I look back. I realize I didn't do as many podcasts as I should have. I apologize to my dedicated fan. I realized that my blogs were kind of inconsistent, and that's okay, too. I've made a commitment. My New Year's resolution. By the way, I'm sure, be ready for it, because some goober is going to go, my New Year's resolution is 4K. You know, I'm just messing with you. My New Year's resolution is to do more. Do more podcasts. Do more tweets. Do more blogs. Do more streaming. I really feel like I started to set up my VR dungeon for streaming and then didn't. I'm sorry. I'm going to get to it. I promise. But that's my New Year's resolution. Deliver more content. Because the more I see the adoption rate increasing, I'm realizing that there are a lot of new people in the VR space and the AR space. They have no idea who I am. They have no idea of the past, you know, things that have happened, things that happened 3 years ago that are relevant today, things that happened 4 years ago that are relevant today, because you got to know where you were to know where you're going. You can't let those people continue without being introduced to some of the history of it. So my New Year's resolution is to make more content. I'm giving all of you a New Year's resolution. Resolve yourself to introduce a friend who just got into immersive technology. Introduce them to old podcasts. Doesn't have to be mine. Could be nice if it was mine, but you know, everybody's good buddy Kent Bai with the Voices of VR podcast. You know, there's Malia with VR Scout and her podcast, and there's other podcasts out there. Some of them have been around for a long time. Hell, go download all of Chris Miranda's Enter VR podcast or the Left-Handed VR podcast or Pod VR. Or, you know, some of these folks have been around for a long time, and I look at their podcasts as being historical entries. You know, these are important pieces because you have to know the struggle that the early folks had to go through. So this is a good way for you to help the noobs get acquainted, you know, during their commutes to work or school or whatever. They can listen to old podcasts and go, wow, were they really dealing with that? Or did they really have to worry about that? Did they really think that 2014 was going to be the year of VR? Yes. Yes. And it helps them to understand and appreciate where we were and know where we are going. Okay, I think that's it. That's about it. I like to keep these end-of-year ones under an hour, so those of you who are listening on your commute don't have to, you know, listen to half of it, and then there's like 6 minutes left. I hate when that happens. And then you listen to that on the way home, and then you're like, now what do I listen to? All right, so few last pieces before we go into 2018 with our VR headsets on and slamming into walls. I want to say a big thank you to everybody who put on all the amazing shows this year. So SVVR Expo was a humdinger this year. It was awesome. It was amazing. Props to my boy Jeff for coming out from Cincinnati and joining me for that one. He definitely got the bug, and there's an episode earlier this year that you can listen to where we talk about that. Oculus Connect 4. Connect 4. Ha, ha, ha. Is that still funny? To me, it is. Connect 4 was pretty damn good. Way better than Connect 3. But, you know, Connect 4. Okay. And then all of the other shows. And I didn't go to as many shows last year as I would have liked. I'm sure VRLA was amazing. And all of you out there who are doing meetups and, you know, any type of industry, social gathering or any of any sort, good for you. Thank you. You're awesome, and you help extend our family and the community at large, making it bigger, growing it, and making people feel welcome and included. So thank you to everyone who participated in an event like that. And thank you to all of the people who went to them to help justify the cause, justify why we put these shows on. The more people that show up at these shows, the more likely it is that the media folks will go, wow, this is really a big deal. I want to say thank you to Palmer Lucky for reemerging and showing us that, hey, he didn't get beat and he's still out there and gunning to make VR amazeballs. And so keep plugging, sir. And, you know, kudos to you. I also want to say thank you to all of my personal friends and family for being supportive on things like job changes and, you know, just an overall sense of helping me accomplish my dream of living and breathing VR and AR and bleeding edge technology on a daily basis. I didn't make any predictions this year. And I'm not going to. The only things that I want to say is I can't wait for Oculus Go to come out, Santa Cruz, if there's going to be a Vive 2. Can't wait to see what else comes out in terms of AR. I'm just as excited as everyone else to just see what happens next. Because at this point, it's pretty obvious there's a trend. So if you really wanted to make some good, solid predictions, if you claim to be a futurist, you can make some pretty obvious ones. So I'm not going to do that here. Maybe I'll do something later down the road. But I really feel like it's getting to where it needs to go. Even if it's a little slower than we thought, that's fine. Slow and steady wins the race. Next year will be pretty cool. 2018 will be pretty cool. I think we're going to have a lot of really fun stuff. I also want to encourage everyone to go and spend as much time as possible in all of the social VR experiences, and I'm gonna just do a big shout out to my friends at VR Chat. If you have a VR headset and you have not been in VR Chat yet, you are doing yourself a grave injustice. This is not Rec Room. This is not any of the other, this isn't Facebook Spaces. Go to VR Chat. Go to VR Chat and find somebody and say, help, I'm new, show me around. And I guarantee you will find somebody who will be more than gracious enough to take you around and show you the ropes. And maybe I'll see you in there sometime in the future. I hope so. All right, folks. 2017, done. Tomorrow is 2018. I hope everybody has a good new year. You're probably listening to this in 2018 since I'm releasing it so late tonight. Have a good one. And thank you all very much for listening. This podcast is a production of RevVR Studios. Music provided by Jesse Spillane. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests. For more information, visit RevVRStudios.com.